From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in Geneva in 2011. Mark Guerin, president of Hobart and William Smith Colleges, put together a group to address challenges facing the Geneva City School District. It was under a New York State watch. There were problems with attendance, high school graduation, reading rates, and more. And so the group created Geneva 2020, aimed at improving all of these measures, college and career readiness. Well, 7 years later, graduation rates are up 14 percentage points, and there are other signs of success. We've asked our guest to come on the program this hour, joining us from the WEOS studio in Geneva, to tell us how things are going and to kind of get into some more of the details because, you know, let's be honest, there are projects around the country with school districts that have tried to improve graduation rates, improve college readiness. It's a very complex set of problems, and we want to know how they're doing it in Geneva. Our guests include Mark Guerin, the president of Hobart and William Smith Colleges. President Guerin, welcome back to the program.
Evans, great to be with you. Thanks for having us.
Matt Horn is Geneva City Manager. Matt, welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon, Evan. Thanks a lot.
And Trina Newton is the superintendent of the Geneva City School District. Trina, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you, Evan.
Mark, let's just start with you and just kind of take me back to the beginning when you were seeking to put together something to address these challenges.
Right. Well, we're just very grateful to be part of a community with such a great school system and teachers and the leadership in particular of Trina Newton and the city manager like Matt Horn. So this is really a story of connections to your very title of your program.
Yes, Evan. Yes, we're, very good.
Sorry, to state the obvious.
That's true, it's all right.
Let's just go with it. So it starts back, as you noted in your introduction, when the city was facing, city public schools were facing real challenges. Graduation rates, retention, a state watch. And so I read it as both a parent with two daughters in the public school system and as in my professional role as president of the colleges, who we seek to recruit and attract faculty and staff and encourage them to live here and the importance of a thriving public school system for from an employment point of view is also significant. So I approach this from two perspectives. And So we convene people. Geneva is the kind of place where bringing people of good hearts and minds and initiative together towards a common pursuit is really quite natural from my experience here. I've been here now 18 years. So we initially gathered around our dining room table, and I had read a recent article in the Stanford Social Innovation Review about a theory called collective impact. And it's to organize people together towards a same strategic goal, to have common metrics, communications and reporting, and to provide organizational support to it. And while it may seem rather elementary or pedestrian that if a lot of good people work towards the same goal, good things will happen, it is actually a big idea and an important idea and harder than one might think to execute an idea. But that has been our collective work. And so while I've been a part of it, this is truly a story of the government, certainly the public schools, the city government, the not-for-profit faith communities, the business community, the hospital, healthcare, all the players here deeply concerned for Geneva's children, really shouldering together in common pursuit.
Can I ask Trina Newton just briefly, and Trina, I don't know when you arrived in Geneva to start your work as superintendent, but can you give us kind of a snapshot of what was going on in the district in 2011? Mark mentioned, you know, being on a New York State watch and graduation rates, but what were some of the specifics that the district was facing?
So I was hired, I started in January of 2012. So as this was going on, I was actually looking at different school districts. I had made the decision it was time for me to apply for superintendencies. Geneva intrigued me. They were under, at that point, it was called a joint intervention team. The graduation rate was really low. When I took a look at the data, it was specific in the subgroups, the Hispanic, the Black, the African American, special education, students with limited English proficient. The data showed that there were issues in discipline, attendance, and of course, when it's a perfect storm. When all of those come together, you're not going to achieve. The district isn't going to have a high graduation rate. And as Scott, my husband and I came into the community, no one knew that I was applying for the superintendency. What I found was people who were passionate. They really wanted the school district to succeed. Incredible staff and faculty. What they needed was a group of people to focus them so that everyone was going in the same direction and that the resources were targeted toward specific goals.
I'm looking at a story out of Cincinnati, and I wonder if President Guerin can tell us a little bit about where inspiration might have come from on this kind of work. Because as Mark said, it sort of seems obvious. Well, get a lot of community stakeholders, get them together, and everybody pull together. I mean, that can be a cliche, but it can also be very difficult to achieve it. And the Huffington Post had a piece about the Strive Network in Cincinnati, and I'd like to read a little bit of this piece reviewing what's been going on there, because it touches on exactly this. So this is from a HuffPo piece on the success of the Strive Network in Cincinnati, which is kind of trying to do the same things that the Geneva has been doing. Quote, young people need jobs, and area businesses need capable workers. Schools need effective strategies to increase their graduation rates. Social service agencies traditionally pursue distinct areas of focus, from boosting preventative health care to stemming gang violence. But before the Strive partnership in Cincinnati, all of these actors operated independently with little coordination and no central database to highlight the problems that needed tackling most urgently. The partnership's former executive director and now managing director said this about it. This is Jeff Edmondson. Quote, it was spray and pray, investing in a lot of stuff and just hoping it works. Investments were falling into a black hole in terms of educational outcomes. You would address third grade reading intently, but then your high school graduation rates would go down. So the principle behind the partnership is both elegantly simple and adaptable to local circumstances. Put concerned people in one room, agree upon statistically definable goals, and then coordinate action and spend the dollars to hit all of the targets, end quote. So what the Huffington Post is saying there is, yeah, you had a lot of great people trying to do great things in Cincinnati, but they were sort of siloed. There's a word you hear often. The Rochester Monroe Anti-Poverty Initiative uses that word often. If you're siloed, you cannot work together. So you would. I thought that was interesting, Mark, hearing spray and pray from Steve Edmonds or Jeff Edmondson.
No, that's great, Evan. It's exactly right. I became aware of this Stanford Social Innovation Review article. I served on the White House Council on Community Solutions. And quite frankly, I can remember reading this article thinking, and this was in the context of national policy recommendations for the White House Council. But at the same time, back in my home life and day job, understanding the importance of what was going on in the Geneva public school system. And it occurred to me at the time, this whole notion of collective impact could have such resonance. Because at that point, I had lived here for a decade. I knew the kind of people with this scale was certainly attainable. We all would see each other in the produce aisle of Wegmans. That it was very much an attainable proposition. But you're absolutely right. The underlying premise of a collective impact model is that no single organization can create the kind of large-scale sustainable change on its own. But collectively, as a group, focused on these issue areas, it can make a real difference in the lives of real people. So my only role was to broaden this article to a working group, the then superintendent, and because I had come here from the Peace Corps as director of the Peace Corps before coming here, the genius of the Peace Corps, it's not a apt comparison on some levels, but the genius of its work was to go to the community and ask, what are your needs? And from my perspective, my expertise is certainly not K-12 education. So I went to Trina Newton's predecessor and then Trina when she was on board and asked, what are your priorities? What are the strategic priorities of the school system? And they were very much aligned at the time. Graduation rates, completion rates, literacy, how do we boost career and college readiness? And that was our agenda. We didn't divine this from our campus or from other well-meaning community partners, but we are working in partnership with the strategic goals that the public school system here, with their expertise and knowledge, has suggested to us. So we approach this as the collective, and you're right, it sounds remarkably easy. But inherent in it is you're asking people to redirect their priorities, that if they were doing good work, to ask them to think through how can you fit into this paradigm of career and college readiness, the graduation rates, literacy. That was our first fundamental start. We broadened it a bit, but those were the key areas, and that's what Trina urged upon us. And so organizations are all doing their own thing towards that objective. So for Hobart and William Smith, each year we bring every second, sixth, and ninth grader to campus. We, in partnership with the Boys and Girls Club, run a tutor corps evenings at the community center across the street from the middle school and high school. Trina has her faculty working with the Boys and Girls Club. It is a true partnership, and we're seeing the kind of results that you mentioned at the outset. But we're also pretty straightforward. We just had a community summit. Matt and Trina and I stood before all of our partners, and we love talking about the attainment and the success Trina's had on the graduation rate. But we're also not underreporting the challenges that remain. And it's that trustful reporting and communications loop, I think, that will add to the energy behind this. We're deeply grateful to the support we've had in the community, and now from Foundation, the McGowan Foundation, the William G. McGowan Foundation, has provided critical support for us so that we could retain staffing resources to support the infrastructure, because Hobart and William Smith in many ways functions as the background. But the wonderful work of the McGowan Charitable Fund out of Chicago has been very helpful to us. So it's that kind of awareness in the community. People all want to do the right thing, but people need the guidance to know what are the kind of things that they can be doing that makes the most impact.
In a moment, I'd ask Matt Horn, Geneva City Manager, to explain, you know, sort of his view on his and the city's role. It's pretty clear, obviously, what Trina's trying to do and what President Guerin from the college level is doing. But before we get there, Trina, give us the 2017 update as best you can, as broadly speaking as you can, on the metrics that you're working on. How are things in 2017? And then, as Mark says here, not just to kind of get complacent, looking ahead to 2020, you know, for example, reading rates, graduation rates, where are they now? Where do you think they need to be in 3 years? Kind of take me down the line there.
So I think, you know, the goal should be 100% of all of the children should be reading at grade level and third grade. We have set algebra, a math goal for ninth grade. We want 100% of the students to have passed the Regents exam in algebra. And of course, we want a 100% graduation rate. We're shooting for 90% by 2020. We look at every single individual student. We have faculty, staff, the administrators. We know where every child is. In ninth grade, we start tracking the number of credits they have. So they should be on track 9 credits by the end of ninth grade. We want to make sure that they've met all of the benchmark Regents exams. Reading, we now have benchmark data that we look at on a regular basis and analyze with the teachers and the staff. And if we have individual students that aren't on track, then there's a one-on-one with someone in the school district and with their parents or guardians to make sure that we put them back on track. And of course, the communication with the Boys and Girls Club, the tutoring that they're doing after school, is essential to our success. And there are other community partnerships that we have that we can reach out to them if it's a certain family. We have a growing number of homeless children in the district. But it's everyone working together, and you know that Susie or Jose, where they are and what we have to do to make sure they're on track to meet the benchmark goals.
I'm looking at, for example, attendance rate. You'd like to see it at, what, 95% in all buildings? Is that correct?
That's correct.
What's the attendance rate now?
At the middle school, we are at 95%. At West Street School, we are at 95%. The high school, we're around 93%, so we have some work to do there. And at North Street School, we're around 94%.
The graduation rate, you want it to be at least 90% by 2020. Now, when you started this project, you were at 70.7% back in 2010. Just about 85% graduation today. Trina, there's a lot of complex factors that go into that, but what do you think is the, I don't want to say easy explanation, but when people ask you, how did you do that? How did you go from 70 to 85% graduation rate? How do you explain that?
There was a lot of work that has been done by our faculty, and I really have to give credit to everyone in Geneva who's been working towards this goal. But we had a deficit model here. Instead of taking, we weren't looking at the assets of the children and saying, this is where a child is doing very well. What can we do so that they feel successful? And then we can work on those areas of growth. And we have more of our students in the AP classes, challenging the AP class. It used to be that you had to have a recommendation to go into an AP class. Now it is open enrollment. It's not up to us to say a child can or cannot challenge a biology regents or AP class and be successful. And we've moved that all the way down to the elementary school. So double, single acceleration. You have some extremely bright children who may not be in the best households. And when they get bored at school, it comes out as they're naughty. And we place them on a track, part of that pipeline to prison. So it's a mindset of looking at the strength of every single child from the time they walk in the door, building on their strengths so they feel successful, and at the same time identifying where their weaknesses are so we can make sure that they are successful by the time they leave our school district.
Trina, are you, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Mark. Let me give you a build out of what Trina and her colleagues and the faculty have done, because she's exactly right. At our last community meeting, she went up with four second graders. She introduced four second graders, and they were right going between second and third grade, and she was able to point out quite visibly to the business people, faith leaders, community organizations, that when we started this, only three of those four would have crossed the stage to receive their diploma at Geneva. So it both personalized in a lovely way and motivated in a dazzling way the imperative of our work. And so what this partnership truly has meant is, thanks to her leadership, the principal's leadership, certainly the faculty, building out new AP courses. So what does that mean? What does that mean for Geneva 2020? One of the outgrowths of our effort is a local businessman running a furniture store, Bernie Lynch, had the motivation to say, here's what I can do. Let's start a educational foundation, not a booster club for athletics, but towards academic excellence. He convened people, they got 503 not-for-profit status, and now we have a Geneva Education Foundation group. And its recent effort was to fund Geneva High School students coming from circumstances that were not able to pay for the AP tests. Understand they're over $90 per test. And that is such an important gateway for college matriculation to the kind of schools where these talented students could go. So here's a narrative in a small way. This is Geneva, New York. There's 2,200 students in the school system here. There's 2,200 students at Hobart and William Smith. So in partnership, everyone, that courses were expanded, access was broadened. I think President Bush said it well, that the kind of the soft bigotry of low expectations has been curbed, and the community has rallied in ways to support in advance, in this case, not only having expanded AP courses, but then having important access to the exam, which, as we all well know, is a critical determinant for college advancement and matriculation. So it's one example of the build-out of this and the threads over these years of how it's connecting and how people are seeing their way into a collective impact opportunity.
We're talking to Mark Guerin, the president of Hobart and William Smith Colleges, Trina Newton, superintendent of the Geneva City School District, and Matt Horn, Geneva City Manager. They're talking about Geneva 2020, which began back in 2011, aimed at increasing graduation rates, college readiness, career readiness, all of the measures that impact students and the outcomes for them. And what we are seeing in 5-6 years' time is, I think objectively, I'm not a cheerleader, I'm not here just to sort of carry their water. I think objectively a lot of really impressive developments so far. It doesn't mean that they've reached the goals for 2020, but they certainly appear on the way. And let me get a listener question from Tim in Pittsford. He says, any chance that someone from the Rochester City School District has spoken with any of your guests? Because in Geneva, they seem to be doing exactly the right things. Guys?
You know, from my perspective, no, but I think there's a lot of interest. I know Matt is, there's a conference at Cornell, and we've had a lot of interest. And of course, a lot of folks are doing what we did. One of the things we did several years ago was to talk directly to the folks in Cincinnati. The SUNY Chancellor, Nancy Zimpfer, has been to Geneva a couple of times. Of course, she had a previous academic appointment as president of the University of Cincinnati and was very well aware of collective impact theory and execution. So I think there's a lot of stories to share and a lot of lessons to be learned here, and we'd be anxious to speak with, happy to speak with anyone who can take from it. This is an example, one of the few we are aware of a small city. Most of the other examples of collective impact are larger cities. This is of a smaller community, but understand the challenges that Superintendent Newton spoke of, that 62% of the children in the school district here or so, Trina, check me on this, but would be on a subsidized breakfast or lunch. So there are real world challenges economic challenges that are faced here and that Matt deals with from the city management point of view as well.
Well, let me ask Matt Horn, who is the Geneva city manager, how do you view the city's role in this kind of a project, Matt?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I think about this from an economic development perspective. In any community, economic development is at the top of policymakers' list, priority list. And we can do some really traditional economic development things. We used to call it chasing smokestacks, right? I mean, we can go out and recruit business after business, really try to position Geneva in a way that we are able to land these large-scale projects. And we do that. But in terms of a sustainable economic development platform, there's no better investment than in the future residents of Geneva. And our hope, of course, is that we retain every student from the Geneva City School District today to come back and be productive residents for the city. You know, I had an opportunity to talk a year or two ago about our All-America City designation. And at that time, we were really doing a lot of celebrating about these great things that were happening in Geneva. And if you've traveled through Geneva 15, 20 years ago and then traveled through again today, you would have seen this stark change. And so we've been feeling pretty good about the direction Geneva is heading. But we just engaged in our strategic planning effort, which is our comprehensive plan. And we looked 15 years out at what kind of a community we wanted to be. And as part of that, we did a really deep data dive on what's happening in Geneva. And it's really a bit, Mark calls it kind of a tale of two cities story, but it's really counterintuitive to what you think. In this same period of time, this 10, 15 year period of time, where Geneva is making these incredible strides from a placemaking standpoint, and you really would feel we were hitting our economic development stride. What was happening under the surface was the poverty rate was growing at an incredible clip. In the year 2000, the city's individual poverty rate was around 17%. By 2015, that rate was over 18%. And when you get to, that's the family rate, I apologize. The individual rate was at 25%. What they tell us, when you get past 25%, too deep past 25%, it's almost a point of no return. There's almost no way back. And so what we saw the Geneva 2020 effort as doing is improving the chances for this next crop of employees, of investors, of residents, future residents of Geneva, to be successful economically and to contribute positively economically. So then snap back to that large smokestack firm that you're trying to recruit, that industrial firm or the high technology firm. They don't want to locate in a community with a challenged school district. They don't want to locate in a community where they won't have access to quality employees. So if the city simply just invests in marketing, top-level economic development initiatives where we're providing grants to big companies and we're marketing ourselves as this amazing destination in the Finger Lakes, which we are, that's great. That's enough sizzle to get the prospect through the door. But if you can't back it up with solid performance at the school district level, then you really don't have any stake to sell there. And so we view our role as in full support of the school district and of the Geneva 2020 effort. We stand, you know, as a partner, both from a, you know, as Mark pointed out, with the college visitation program, you know, we work to engage interns. We work to do job shadowing. We make financial investments where it makes sense in school programming. And we do it, we see, as an investment in economic development.
And Matt, let me take another angle on the point that you're making. You know, you're talking about companies, you know, your role as Geneva City Manager in economic development. Companies don't just say, sure, give me this tax credit and we'll come there. They consider all kinds of things, workforce, they consider schools, et cetera. So you're talking about, you know, companies making that decision. I'm curious to know if you've observed something that I heard Mark Guerin say earlier this hour. Mark talked about his own daughters going to public schools. Sometimes what we have are well-meaning people, you know, people might call them the elites or the leaders of communities, and they want to support the public schools, but they send their kids to private schools. And I'm not judging. I mean, I understand there's a lot of different reasons for why that is. But I'm wondering, Matt, if you've seen, you know, maybe an increase in the number of people who, you know, thought about moving to Geneva, not just companies, but individuals wanting to live there and then saying, yes, I'm going to send my kids to school there in the public schools. Are you seeing more of that?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. I mean, we've got a real concerted effort here. So several years ago, the city's local development corporation, of which Trina sat on as a board member, and now one of her top deputies sits representing the school district. It's one of our key economic development agencies, and we engaged the school district for exactly the reason you're talking about. That local development corporation put in place a program called Live Where You Work, because the general idea is between Hobart and William Smith Colleges and Cornell University, who has an outpost here, and Finger Lakes Community College and Geneva General, between all of those entities, the daytime population of master's degree educated individuals and above is staggering for a community of our size. But what we found 10 or 15 years ago was that at night, everybody's hopping in their car. We're close to the thruway. You can get to Victor just as fast as you can get anywhere. And they're living in, you know, in an adjoining community, sending their kids to an adjoining school district. So what Trina and myself, representatives from HWS and my community development team did was actually physically go to places like Guardian Glass, HWS, Lions National Bank, and sit with their HR directors and said, you know, you don't have to dream up reasons your employees should live close. Here's why it makes sense for your employees to live close. An employee who's spending less time on the road has a better work-life balance. They're happier to be working at your firm. Here are the things you've heard about the Geneva City School District. You're living on old data, and we've got new data for you. We can show you why Geneva's a great place to live and to send your children to school, and it's working. The LDC program, I think, has directly, just that single program, directly placed 30 families into the Geneva City School District. And for a city that is only 13,000 people, 30 families is starting to move that needle. What we saw between 1890 and 2000 was about a 10% drop in population. From 2010 to 2015, we see a stabilizing effect there. And a lot of that has to do with a concerted effort of putting our message on the street and having that solid data to back it up. And Geneva 2020 is a huge part of that.
My perspective is also, as a parent, one of our energy behind this is because my children are in the school system, I well understood the quality of teachers here. That was the disconnect. This was not my desire to be engaged on this was out of respect and gratitude to the public education here that has well prepared. One of my daughters is senior in high school, one is already through college. She felt very well prepared for her undergraduate experience. So that was the issue, is just how do we organize ourselves? We knew we had a very good public school system here. We knew we had and continued to have work to do. But that was the genesis of this. So many of us with appreciation for the quality faculty and administration in the school system here. How do we augment that in meaningful ways?
If you're just joining us, our guests are joining us from our WEOS studio in Geneva. Hope you're listening wherever you are, maybe in the Finger Lakes on 89.5 FM, where you can join the program every day. Mark Guerin is the president of Hobart and William Smith Colleges, Matt Horn, Geneva City Manager, and Trina Newton is the superintendent of the Geneva City School District. We're talking about Geneva 2020, this initiative that came together about 6 years ago, aiming to improve graduation rates, reading levels, comprehension, college readiness, helping the workforce, all kinds of metrics that they're aiming to improve in less than a decade's time. And just take so far, 70% graduation in 2010. It's just about 85% today. Their goal, at least 90% by 2020. So in many categories, they are on the march. I'm going to get some more of your questions. John and Menden had a question about pre-K development. We'll get that question coming up here. If you want to call the program, you can do that toll-free, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. If you're calling from the Rochester area, it's 263-WXXI, 263-9994. And I also want to talk a little bit more about what we can understand about where they are in the third grade level when it comes to a lot of the different tests and assessments there. Because as poverty increases, you know, it's one thing to see graduation rates improving today, but you may have more young kids in poverty, more challenges there. So there's a lot that they're working on, and we'll take this only break and come right back to it on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, calling all carpenters, masons, painters, and craftspeople. New York needs you, and not just for regular building projects. State and federal tax credits are making it more financially feasible for property owners to restore historic buildings, but they need people who know how to handle historic properties. There are additional considerations, more training opportunities, and a lot going on. We'll talk about it next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. In Menden, John wants to know, he says, is there a pre-K development component to this program? Trina Newton?
Yes, there is. We actually have Head Start in the Geneva City School District. It's been around for approximately 51 years, and we also have a UPK program. When I first came to the district, UPK was half day. One of the goals early on was to have a full day UPK, so we do have full day UPK in the district, and Head Start for 3-year-olds and for 4-year-olds, and the goals are aligned for Head Start and UPK with the district goals.
We also have a great not-for-profit partner in Geneva Reads, who makes sure that at birth and at each stage of pediatric care, that children are being provided with books. I've got a 6-month-old, and every doctor's appointment I go, they get a book. When he was born, he gets a book. And so there's a real focus on parents reading to children before. So this real cradle to career focus.
A member of the Geneva 2020 subgroup is Dr. Stephen Schultz, who is a new pediatrician to the region, and he has become a critical partner as from conception to the time students enter the school district. So there's a group of citizens in the community who have they've taken this on. This is their goal, is to make sure every child enters either as a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old ready for school, ready to learn.
Now, when it comes to the increase in graduation rates, Trina talked earlier this hour about a number of reasons for that. And you mentioned offering more AP classes and making it more inclusive, giving students more of a chance there. I don't know if you used if you've used any data on suspension rates, Trina. We've seen other school districts who are, you know, trying to improve graduation rates, trying to improve outcomes, target suspensions. They target more of what we call restorative practices as opposed to, you know, sort of hardline discipline. How do you view that?
Absolutely. In my first 6 months here, because I started in January, we really took a look at our suspension rate and our retention rate. I'm ashamed to say that there was at one point students were spending 6 years in the middle school. There's no way that a child is going to graduate if they're spending 6 years in a school that's set up that they should graduate to the high school after 3 years. So we've taken a look at the suspension rate, retention rates. We have a restorative justice program at our middle school and our high school. Leader in Me, which is part of Stephen Covey at the elementary school. So at every single level, we're looking at what can we do to make sure that children's behaviors are changed so that they aren't being suspended. And I will tell you, please, I have to say that this isn't perfect, and we still have students that have to be suspended for various reasons, but we look at each individual child and we try to come up with a plan to get them back into school as soon as possible.
Okay. Now, I mentioned third grade rates. Trina, when it comes to how we assess students at that third grade number, whether it's on this program or others, we've heard how important it is to make sure students are reading, that they're up to sort of the recommended standards, and how detrimental it is if they're behind or if they can't read at that point. What's the progress you've seen, and how do things stand with third grade students in Geneva?
Literacy rate is increasing. We have more students that are on grade level. There is more communication between our primary building and our elementary building. Again, we had schools that were operating in silos, and so we've tried to make sure that there's more communication and that the instruction is aligned. We're moving to personalized learning in Geneva, which is a differentiation, but everyone is moving at the same pace. And when students move from grade level to grade level, there will be some choices. There will be what we call playlists. So if I am a student and you're asking me to do a project and I lean towards art, I'll be able to do a project in art. And what we are seeing is that rate is going up. We've also instituted a language program at the elementary level. Every single one of our students are studying a second language. The enrichment language is Mandarin. But in K through 2, we have a immersion Mandarin, where students spend half their day learning Mandarin and half their day learning English. We also have dual language Spanish, and that's pre-K to 3 this year. We'll expand it up to the fourth grade. And we're seeing quite a bit of success. The professors from HWS are evaluating and assessing the program. We use that feedback every year to make changes. And students who weren't performing, they weren't at benchmarks in literacy, those students were seeing tremendous results.
I want to turn back to President Mark Guerin of Hobart and William Smith Colleges, who helps put this entire Geneva 2020 program together, starting with meetings back in 2020. And Mark, we've mentioned Cincinnati a few times as kind of a model for how things can be a little bit more effective. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? You know, when you are looking for these kinds of models to build what you built with Geneva 2020, did you look to Cincinnati, or were there other places that you think that they're doing very well with this kind of effort?
Right. Great question. Yeah, it started for me, at least, this journey of understanding it, as I said, as a parent, gratitude to the school system, as an employer wanting to work with the school system to improve it, and given my Peace Corps heritage, wanting to make sure that anything we did was coordinated with the school system. And then finally, knowing Geneva, this is the kind of, we've just been talking about literacy. I knew, as Matt said, about Geneva Reads, which is this great program that we have. We have this wonderful Wyckoff Family Foundation that has supported this. Giving books to at an early point. So having lived in Geneva at that point 10 or so years, I thought this was the perfect place where if ever there was a collective impact possibility, where the scale is such that many of us know each other quite well. And as one of our colleagues says, it's an actionable scale. There's 2,200 students in the school system. Hobart and William Smith has 2,200 school system students at the colleges. And then finally, there's just different moments. We're all sort of students of leadership, and it just seemed to me that there was a moment, because we had an extraordinary new superintendent, we had a very dynamic, innovative city manager, we have a very forward-thinking business community and faith community and not-for-profits, and I had been here about a decade. I thought, this is the kind of place that could do this. The stars were aligned. And I think what you're hearing, Evan, is just while we're proud of what's been done, what always has kind of inspired me about Geneva is the citizens here have not been retiring about observing the next challenge in a very can-do approach. So we're gifted by that, gifted by new members coming into the community, to the business sector, a wonderful new not-for-profit leader, Chris Lavin, coming back to Geneva in starting with the school system. We have 110 of our students participate in a tutor corps, which is mentoring and literacy work and tutoring Geneva students. So part of it is our scale. So yeah, we spent a lot of time on the phone with Cincinnati because of their experience. Candidly, most of the examples were big cities. And so a lot of the apparatus that they had, the scale of the business community, foundation support, was sort of not relevant to us. But I think we all agreed that we had something very special, notwithstanding some of those other limitations. But if we just waited for a new state policy, if we just waited for a new federal policy, if we waited for some ultimate gift, there'd be generations of students who, but for the accident of birth or the underorganization of us as community leaders, they would not have the opportunities that they so richly deserve. So it's been a lot of hard work, but it's been joyful because I think we are seeing the elements of progress, and one thing helps another. So then Matt, with his leadership, gets the $10 million to have downtown revitalization. That helps all of us, or an All-America City designation. As a college president, I visit a lot of some of the best independent schools, secondary schools in the country, and they will publish a list of where their students are going out of private education. And I would match that list to some of the students graduating from Geneva High School. So to anyone thinking about settling here or wondering about the quality of education, I'm sure Trina can speak to it much more knowledgeably, but where students are going on to college from the Geneva High School is a dazzling list of schools, the top universities and elite private colleges in America. So that is happening. And so as we're prideful of that, we're also just not mindlessly cheerleading, I hope, but we're attentive. And in our community summit, we went through the math and the challenges that remain in terms of ELA statistics, in terms of literacy. And so that's the energy I think that people have. So we've profited from every best practice we could glean, and we're not unretiring about looking at good ideas and making them ours, but translating it into a small city environment, into a scale that we think works for us, and grateful to individual leaders, to foundation support like McGowan, like the Wyckoff Foundation, and others like Chancellor Nancy Zimfer, who is very generous with her time and expertise.
Let me get an email from a listener, and as our guests have said, there's still progress to be made. That there's, I think they feel very good about what Geneva 2020 has accomplished so far, but they're not where they want to be yet. And we got a long email from a parent named Sean Marie. I can read part of it here. Sean Marie says, my own third grader is on his third teacher in the same classroom this year, and the administration hasn't been clear with parents about what the plans are to make sure that these children are able to finish their year at the same academic level as their other peers, let alone why or what has caused so many significant difficulties. And I've had to rely on communicating with other friends and folks who work within the district to gain the information that I've needed to advocate for my child. So I'm curious what the panel has to say for the children coming up through these academic challenges, how they plan to support them, and how they plan to develop effective honesty and communication with parents. Trina?
I think that this parent needs to start with the building principal, the building administration. I can't speak directly to the classroom. There are a lot of reasons why faculty, I mean, illnesses, there's different reasons why you don't have a stable teacher in a classroom for a year. I will tell you that we do everything we can possibly do. I am in that particular building on a regular basis. I go into those classrooms on a regular basis, and I would hope that they would start a dialogue with the building administration, the social worker in the building, the school nurse, just so we can hear what are their specific concerns.
All right, Sean Marie, thank you for the email. Let me ask our guests to comment on a common refrain we hear when it comes to how to quote-unquote fix education, how to fix schools. Usually we're talking about more urban districts, districts where there is more poverty. Rochester, we talk about that all the time. But Geneva is a district that has its own challenges. And one of the things I think is probably, it's hard to argue that if we fixed poverty, you could start fixing schools. A lot of people will say, well, fix schools and you fix poverty. And I do think that that sort of needs to be flipped around, that as we reduce poverty, there's going to be a natural benefit to kids who are growing up. If fewer kids are growing up in poverty with drugs or crime and all the things that go with that, that inevitably that will help them and that will help schools. But I also wonder if our guests think that that is oversimplifying things, that that ignores the reality that that we have a good amount of poverty. I would say a good amount is the wrong word. In many places, growing amount of poverty. We've seen income gaps grow in recent years, wage stagnation. So poverty is going to be with us for a while. And is it too simplified, Trina, to say fix poverty and you fix schools?
Yes. So what I'll also say is education is a middle class system. And I have said before that it's a mall model. You go to a public school across the country, and this has happened after over the past couple of decades, and everything looks the same. It's sort of like a Gap that you would go to at a mall in Ontario County and then go out to California. The merchandise is the same. Basically, it looks the same, which is what we've done to education. And we have been talking about in the Geneva City School District that we have to create more of that downtown model. We have to bring downtown back, where the stores really cater to the region and to the people in the region. So I do think it's oversimplifying. I think you have extremely bright kids. I came from a household of poverty, and I was very lucky that I had a lot of opportunity. And I think we have to create opportunities within the school district for children that are coming up. They're extremely bright. They just may not have the same skills that a child who comes from Mark Guerin's household, for example, may have. They may not have the opportunity to travel. We have to create those opportunities so that it's more of a level playing field.
Okay. I think they're inextricably linked, right? So fixing one doesn't necessarily mean fixing the other. But you can work both ends and end up in the right place. So as Trina points out, what we need to do is identify one of the things that we're working on together in the coming years is this trauma-informed approach, where we recognize the impacts of childhood trauma on everything from education, from K-12 education, to their ability to get into colleges, to their ability to perform as an employee. And so what we do know is that there are intervention points, and inside that school district experience, if you can have a great partner like Hobart and William Smith, who will provide mentors and give these students a picture, a window into what's possible if they're able to get through some college. At the same time, as a community, we have to be willing to invest in workforce development initiatives that are also trauma informed, that recognize that the reason why Joe isn't getting to work every day is because of something that impacted him, you know, long before we got to him, and deploy those strategies. So it's this cyclical idea where you can't fix one without fixing the other. But if you don't intervene at multiple points along the spectrum, you're not going to fix any of it.
And President Guerin?
I agree with so much of what has been said, and there is a public policy question, I think, and I say this to my public sector partners here, not coming at this point from the public sector, but having worked enough in it, that a public policy question of how we fund public education in this country and understand that this is a community, as I said, where the realities are the poverty index of 62% having a lunch today in the Geneva City school system. That's an interesting and important public policy question to weigh in on. And as you referenced, Evan, I got very entranced with Robert Putnam's new book, Our Kids, and suggested to many of our 2020 steering committee. So we've all been reading this. And it speaks to this economic segregation in America today. And a part of that, of course, is how we fund public education in the communities that are advantaged and those that are not. And that's the reality. But the question, I think, for public leadership is how do we surround that so that every student has the ability to thrive? And that's what this effort has been acknowledging in a way. And I think in an impressive way, in a little part of upstate New York, channeling the kind of spirit of everyone working together against some pretty tight and formidable odds.
Mark, where can the community, as we wrap up now, can they follow along or learn more about Geneva 2020 online anywhere?
Absolutely. We have our website, Geneva 2020, which is off the Hobart and William Smith website. We just had a very good community meeting, as we said. We published a Geneva 2020 community report that goes through the statistics and the metrics that we're looking at.
President Guerin of Hobart and William Smith Colleges, we always appreciate the time with you. Thanks for the update, and thanks for sharing it with us from our WUS studio.
Thank you so much.
Matt Horn, Geneva City Manager. Thank you, Matt. Nice talking to you.
Thanks, Evan.
And Trina Newton, the superintendent of the Geneva City School District. Thank you, Trina.
Thank you.
And our thanks to our partners at WEOS who do such a wonderful job with Finger Lakes Public Radio 89.5 FM. Let's get a short break. More connections coming up.